And I'm going to say to you this morning, my brother and my sister, the reality is this is the same thing happening today. There are many Christians who are safe in the lifeboat. They know for sure they're on their way to heaven, but they're not willing to take any risk to reach anybody for Jesus. I don't want to say anything to him. He might not like me because I'm a Christian. Oh, he might reject the message of Christ. Oh, I don't believe he's interested in Christ. I'm going to ask you, and God is asking us this morning, in light of all that is coming, what are you doing?
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening's broadcast is the second part of Pastor Brian Grant's message from the sixth chapter of the Revelation, which brings into focus those things that will happen in the future once the seals of the seven-sealed book of God's righteous judgments begin to be loosed and tribulation breaks out in earnest on planet Earth. Thus, we're introduced to the four horsemen of the apocalypse, famed in both fact and lore. But they are real, and they are coming. Thankfully, God's people will never have to meet these doom-laden horsemen, being, at that time, safely in heaven with Christ. But if this text bears solemn warning for those unprepared for Christ's coming, and it does, it should also compel believers to greater urgency in proclaiming the saving gospel of God's grace in Christ Jesus in light of his soon return. Pastor Grant assured us last week that unlike many affairs in life, nothing can delay or deter God's plans for this world. So we invite you to turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 6 and listen with us as Pastor Grant brings part 2 of his message, The Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. Here, once again, is Pastor Grant.
And I tell you, if nuclear weapons are used, from what I gather, listen, I can't imagine the loss of life. We're going to talk about the loss of life soon. But one of the most awful ways to die is from the after effects of a nuclear explosion. Listen, the peace will be broken. The destruction will be intense. The war will be worldwide. Imagine a world with no place of safety. The Bible said it was granted to him to take peace from the earth and that people should kill one another. Mass murders, race wars, gender wars, religious wars, military wars, every type of wars. And I believe the stage is being set. You see, we're not going to be here for the tribulation, but the church is going to be here as the stage is set for the tribulation. Because when the church is raptured, the tribulation begins. So certainly the stage is going to be set. And my brothers and my sisters, with all that has happened in the last 5-10 years, it's hard not to believe the stage is being set. We are seeing mass murders. Listen, in 2019, there were 476 mass shootings in this country. 476. Do you know what a mass shooting is? A mass shooting is when more than 4 people are shot at the same time, not including the gunman. 476. Six mass shootings in 2019. In 2020, because we were all shut inside our houses, the number went down. But the rate of mass shootings is way above what it was in 2019 when 476 mass shootings took place. We're way ahead of that this year. We are way ahead in terms of mass murders. We are killing ourselves. Philadelphia, We're on target to exceed 600 people killed on the streets of Philadelphia. Something is going on. Things are changing. They have no idea what to do. The police commissioner and the federal U.S. attorney and the city, everybody's getting together to try to solve the problem. And the more they talk, the more people are being shot. Little children being shot in the street at what, 10, 11 o'clock last night? Shot in the street right here in Philadelphia. Something is happening. And I honestly believe the stage is being set. I believe, my brother and my sister, that we are in the last of the last days, because there is no doubt in my mind things have declined so dramatically. All of what God says we have rejected. We are openly rebelling against God. I shared a message with you about what the church would be like in the last days. The church has declined so precipitously. The church stands for almost nothing. The apostate church. Listen, we are swallowing up people. Tons and tons of people coming to church. But we don't bother to tell them that they need to repent of their sin and come to Jesus Christ alone for salvation. Listen. We might be in the very last days. Seal number one, the white horse of deception. Seal number two, the red horse of distress. Seal number three, the black horse of despair. The black horse of despair. I'm in verse 5 of Revelation chapter 6. When you open the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come and see." So John looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures say, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, and three quarts of barley for a denarius. Do not harm the oil and the wine." Oh, by the way, you kids who are here, I just want you to know, you don't have to worry about this message. If you have Jesus in your heart, it's so important that you know Jesus. I look at my own grandkids. I'm so glad you know Jesus. And I just want you to know he's going to keep you safe. He's going to protect you. And listen, if you don't know Jesus, teenager, you need to come to him today. You don't want to miss the ark of the safety of Christ. Because if you miss it, you're going to be here for all of this mayhem and drama. But if you know Jesus, he's going to take you right out of this world, and you're going to be with him in heaven, and you're going to be in a place of bliss and joy, and you're going to be so excited that Jesus warned me. He put all this in the Bible to warn me that I would grab a hold of him. Hallelujah. Listen, you can be saved today. So I looked, and behold, a black horse. He who sat in it had a pair of scales. And I've heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures say, "A quart of wheat for a denarius and three quarts of barley for a denarius. And don't harm the oil and the wine." You can write beside your notes, famine. Famine. Famine is a sure result of war. And these worldwide wars will create global famine. Listen. It will be a time marked by shortages. It will be a time marked by shortages. The rider had a pair of scales. Food will be rationed. You know, last year, I don't remember all the stuff we were complaining about, because, as you know, I don't show up at the supermarket too often. But as I recall, we were complaining that there was no toilet paper. Am I right about that? Some people had a house full of toilet paper. Only God knows what we need a house full of toilet paper for. But some people had their house full of toilet paper. There was a shortage of toilet paper and paper towels, I think, and disinfectants. But at least there was food. I think there was a shortage of chicken, and then the government ordered the chicken producers to produce more chicken. Listen, we had food. We might not have had enough this thing here, hand sanitizer. But I can manage without hand sanitizers. but I can't go too long without food. Amen. But I tell you, there's going to be a problem with food. Food is going to be rationed in the tribulation. It's going to be a time marked by shortages, but it's going to be a time marked by starvation, because verse 6 tells us that a quart of wheat is going to be sold for a denarius. Listen, a denarius is a day's wage. A whole day will be, you have to work a day to get the equivalent of a quart of wheat. You can't even make a full loaf of bread. You will not be able to feed your family during that time. It's a time marked by shortages. It's a time marked by starvation. But it's a time marked by separation. Because I was intrigued by what verse 6 says. Do you notice how verse 6 ends? Do not harm the oil and the wine. Oh, I don't want you to miss that. Don't harm the oil and the wine. The billionaires and the political elite who survived the wars will still be living large while the common man starves. In case you believe these politicians, you know, politics is something. It makes you believe that one party is for the rich and the other one is for the poor. Can I tell you the truth? Nobody's really for the other guy. Sadly, to get power, we may make it seem I'm really on your side. But listen, at the end of the day, it's interesting that a lot of the individuals who claim they are for the little guy are some of the wealthiest people in the world today. You check it out. That some of the folks who are pushing this whole idea that we're for the little guy, they're some of the richest people in the world. The billionaires will be still living large while the little poor people are going to be starving to death. And listen, no wonder the Antichrist will eventually be able to control the whole world's economy, promising to feed the starving masses. The Antichrist will take control, and he's going to require that no one can buy or sell anything, what? Unless they have the mark of the beast. Oh, Dr. Thomas will talk about that in the next couple of weeks. But he's going to control the economy, and he's going to develop a system that no trading can go on without it is following his prescribed plan. He is going to be in total control, and everybody will embrace it. The majority, the masses, the starving masses will gladly embrace it, because listen, there's going to have to be a redistribution. But of course, the Antichrist is not really concerned about the little man either. He's really in a war with God. And he's going to do all he can to destroy everybody. I'm so glad I'm saved. Aren't you glad you're in the ark of safety? Come on now. Aren't you glad you're not going to go through this? You know when the Titanic sank? Do you know that over 1,500 people drowned when the ocean liner Titanic sank? But did you know that a whole lot of the lifeboats were half empty? Did you know that? A whole number of the lifeboats were half empty. The people who had been secured and they were now safe in the lifeboats, they were so concerned about making sure they don't rock the boat. They weren't willing to risk anything to save anybody else. Listen, hundreds of people could have been saved if those safe in the lifeboats were willing to take the risk to help them. And I'm going to say to you this morning, my brother and my sister, the reality is this is the same thing happening today. There are many Christians who are safe in the lifeboat. They know for sure they're on their way to heaven, but they're not willing to take any risk to reach anybody for Jesus. I don't want to say anything to him. He might not like me because I'm a Christian. Oh, he might reject the message of Christ. Oh, I don't believe he's interested in Christ. I'm going to ask you, and God is asking us this morning, in light of all that is coming, what are you doing? What risk are you willing to take to make sure there are more on the boat? Listen, there is enough space in God's family, amen, for everybody. There's room, amen. The song says there's room at the cross, amen. There's more room at the cross. And may God help us as believers in Jesus Christ that we would be willing to take the risk and save the perishing. The song says, rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus wants to save. But my brother and sister, we are the ones that have been entrusted the message. It's up to us to share this message of salvation. And I'm going to ask you, God is asking you, in light of what He has put in His word, are you going to be willing to come off of your hands? Seal number one, the white horse of deception. Seal number two, the red horse of distress. Seal number three, the black horse of despair. Seal number four, the pale horse of death. Revelation chapter 6, verse 7 says, when you opened the mouth, the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, come and see. So I looked and behold, a pale horse. The name of him who sat in it was Death, and Hades followed with him. And power was given to him over a fourth of the earth to kill the sword with hunger, with death, and by this beast of the earth. Listen, the pale horse of death, and you can put beside that Death and Hades. The fourth horse is described as a pale horse. It's a word that comes from the Greek word chloros, from which we get the word chlorophyll or chlorine. It refers to the yellow-green color of a corpse. The fourth horse is all about death. After this horseman goes riding, it says, after the fourth seal is open, a quarter. You know, so interesting, you prepare messages and it doesn't affect you until you're saying it. After the fourth seal is open, a quarter of the world's entire population will be killed by the sword, that's war, hunger, pestilence, and wild beasts. There are almost 8 billion people on the planet right now. Using the number that are alive right now, that would be 2 billion people killed. In the last year, COVID has killed almost, it's approaching 3 million on the entire planet. In case you don't know what a billion is 1,000 million. Based on today's population, when the fourth seal is opened, 2,000 million people will be killed. Compare that with the 3 million that has us in such a tizzy. We've had trouble. So many people have died. We've had problems burying them here. Brazil is in big, big trouble right now as they try to deal with the number who are dying there from COVID. Only, I'm saying only in relative terms, because the 3 million that have died is a tremendous shocker for the whole of us, is it not? But compare 3 million to 2,000 million. What will the world even do? Just imagine the situation in the world when this fourth seal is open. And God is giving us ample warning that terrible times are ahead. This will be a disaster the likes of which the world has never seen. Death will claim people's bodies, and Hades will claim their souls. And after they stand, later on, I'll come back to talk to you about this great white throne. But at the great white throne, listen, death and Hades will be cast into the lake of fire. Listen, this is letting us know that the people who go to hell, in the fires of hell, both their bodies and their souls are going to be there. God is going to give them a body that will not burn up. We'll talk about that another time. But all I would say to you, my brother, my friend, if you don't know Jesus, I trust that you will come to trust him today. You know, we've covered the four horsemen of the apocalypse. And I just want to give you one last seal before we close. I'm going to skip over the fifth seal. Perhaps we may come back to that another time. But I want to just talk about the sixth seal as we close, because this, I'm going to turn, look at Revelation chapter 6. We want to just close the chapter in Revelation chapter 6. I look when he opened the sixth seal. As the Lamb opened the sixth seal, as the Lord opens the sixth seal, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair. The moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. The kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand?" Put this in your notes. Cosmic devastation. When this seal is opened, the planet will be shaken to its core. People will be scared to death, for they will have no defense from the wrath of God. But notice something. As God's judgment is unleashed on the world, people will call on the powers of nature to help them. Did you notice that? But they will not call on God. Look at verse 16. They said to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb." They will know exactly what's causing the problem, but people will not call on God. You know, it's so sad. Despite all God has done for us, there are people who are determined not to turn to Jesus, no matter how bad things get for them. Oh, I'm speaking to somebody this morning, and God has sent all sorts of challenges into your life. He has been trying to get you to cling to him. He has been trying to get you to live for him. He's trying to get some of you to say, "Come, yes, Lord, I want your salvation." But there are some who are listening this morning, despite everything God has done, all the challenges he has sent into your life, you have refused to cling to him. You are refusing to turn to him. But my friend, all that can change today. You don't have to wait and be like these people. You can change today. And you can say, "God, I'm so glad that you love me so much. I'm so glad, Lord Jesus, that you came to the cross of Calvary to die for me. I'm so glad that you're willing to help me to live a life of meaning. I'm so glad today that you're willing to take me all the way through. And I'm so glad that if I come to you, I will have joy in heaven." I'm going to ask you, my friend, as I bring this message to a close, to say yes to Jesus and to give your heart to him right now. My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today.
You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to Him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.